What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is Mike Evans, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier on a big Tuesday back home from the NFL Combine. And we still have some stuff that we have to parse through from the Combine, Cody, because whenever we left off last Friday, I believe, we had just talked to the running backs, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, and they had not yet tested, but we now have testing numbers from these guys. And we also just, from just being around Indy and just getting some intel and just talking to some other people that work in the scouting space and some other, you know, the rare, you know, fantasy people that were there taking part in this, there's a lot, I think there's still some questions to be answered as far as this rookie class. I do think that coming out of it, I'm thinking that the rookie class in general for Dynasty and stuff, everything that we had said before about trade away all your 2026 picks, get the 2027 picks.
Still holds true.
It still kind of holds true, but it's a better class, especially at the wide receiver position, than maybe I'd been giving it credit for originally.
I think it's fine. I don't know if it's, I mean, I think it's just
it's
wide
receiver. It's better than we give it a credit for.
I mean, that's to a certain extent, I think that's fair. Like our the top of the food chain's solid, but I mean, it's just, that's wide receiver in the 21st century or 22nd century. Like that's just what wide receiver is these days. It's like it's hard. I think it's going to be hard. And I think this is probably dated since 2020, 2019, when 7-on-7 really started the uptick in high school. It's like, I think it's going to be tough.
7-on-7's been upticking in high school in Texas since the early 2000s.
No, I know, but I'm saying like nationwide.
I get it.
Like the nationwide growth, like we've had bad draft classes at wide receiver. It's like since COVID, really since 2020, like that's, we've been hot. Like, yeah, there was 2013, there was 2014, but there was also some really bad draft classes in there, wide receiver. It's like, I don't think we're going to have a bad class ever again, you know? Like that might be a hot thing.
But that's a hopeful outlook. No more bad classes. I love it. I still think that we do have a bad, generally kind of overall bad running back class. Yeah. And it's considering that that's where, you know, that's how we like to structurally build a lot of stuff with the Dynasty rookie cheat sheet and how we like to get those late round, you know, those third and fourth round running backs and stuff. It's like by the time you get there and these early dynasty mocks, there's, you know, you are really, really picking through chicken scratch with these guys. So we'll talk about all that. Just a quick reminder though, quickly, that we have all like a bunch of draft spotlights for our pro members that are up right now. Cody and Trashman are updating the Dynasty top 250 on a pretty regular basis. Soon we're going to be adding the rookies into there now that we've had, you know, the combine and gotten to meet these guys and talk to them, see how they perform athletically, at least for most of them. And then on that same note, I'm testing right now version 1.1 of the 2026 best ball cheat sheet. So
can I guess who the 101 is from someone that hasn't drafted yet?
Sure.
Is it Bijan?
Yeah, I think so. There's going to be a big argument about Bijan versus Jahmyr Gibbs now that David Montgomery has been traded.
Probably. Is it like, I don't know if the ADP is like 1.1 versus like 1.2 or something like this. Like, is there anybody close at like a number?
Oh, three? In the tests, it's like, I'd say for every two Bijan 101s that there's been a Jahmyr 101. This was testing yesterday after the Montgomery stuff. And I feel like the Montgomery stuff hasn't even been priced into the market as much as it will be, because I saw Montgomery going off during these tests. Yeah. And some of them in like the, you know, end of the seventh round, even post.
That's not great.
And I'm like, this can't hold. Like, I'm going to build him in a little bit cheaper than I think he should be. I think eventually David Montgomery is the lead runner for the Houston Texans, especially somebody who they gave up a fourth round pick and Juice Scruggs for.
Yeah.
Somebody who they had to go in a bidding war against for Denver. Let's circle back on that. But somebody who they had to go against Denver on a bidding war for.
Yeah.
Right. And to go get their guy.
Telling.
I want that guy in fantasy for the like a fifth round price, but I think eventually he's going to be more of a 406, 407 in redraft. It's about where David Montgomery is going to go. I think for this version of the best ball cheat sheet, I'm going to get way ahead of the ADP for now. If it's going to be settling in its seventh round here in March, and we'll get him, see if we can get him in the late fifth or something like that. And as long as that can hold, we'll do that a bit and steal one extra pick in the fourth. But eventually, I think it'll be fine getting up into the fourth round to go for David Montgomery.
I think by the time we get to the season, I think we're going to be talking about, especially if we get more inkling that he's going to be in the Joe Mixon role, and they don't add somebody, like that thing's going to get hot with
Helium. Hot heat, dude. It's really good. But then we'll get back to the rookies. But one of last year's rookies that we really liked, R.J. Harvey. What does it tell you about what the Broncos think about him that we've heard so much buzz that they would be looking for running backs? That's something that we heard at the combine. And then at the combine, what they did was they came in and they offered they heard the report about what the Houston's trade was, and they came in and offered a better deal, and Houston had to come back over the top of the Denver Broncos to get that deal done.
So I think what it tells us is that they know who he is and what he is, and what he isn't is he's not a 1A, he's a 1B. Dobbins is a free agent. Julian McLaughlin's restricted. I think Beatty is in exclusive rights. So really, Harvey's the only one on the roster. And it's like, if you could get a Montgomery or you can get a Breece and the money isn't ridiculous, like maybe even a Ken, like Ken Walker, like I think having a 1A, 1B would be – obviously we saw how dynamic that worked for – Seattle and New England this last year. So, yeah, I mean, we love Harvey, but, you know, the facts are the facts, man. He's a dynamic guy that can come in and he's a two-down back and he's dynamic out of the backfield. And he is what he is. He's never going to be a three-down horse. So
I don't think he can.
You add Montgomery in there and all of a sudden maybe you unlock a little something if it's a two-man backfield, not a four-man backfield with Sean Payton.
What you get what back there?
You could unlock something dynamic if it's a two-man backfield where it's they love Harvey.
You got Montgomery. Okay.
Yeah. And instead of being like, well, you know, we got a banged up Dobbins and Harvey couldn't stay healthy and we got McLaughlin and we like Beatty. It's like, this is a bunch of junk. It's like, just give me two backs.
RJ Harvey's not junk.
You know what I'm saying? A bunch of like four dudes that are just like mishmashed together. Like that's
I get it.
The most unideal situation for fantasy, especially. You get a Montgomery back there, and it's, I'm not saying it's going to be just like it is with Gibbs, but it's like you can visualize that better where it's all right, now we go.
Yeah, I get it. But love it for Montgomery, love it for fantasy, love it for the Texans. I think it's a good – and I love it for our current best ball stuff. So make sure you keep an eye out. I'm probably going to get – I need to test it more, but I'll probably have that out within the few days.
By the way, because we're talking about it, today's the franchise tag deadline. Jets have officially franchise tagged Breece Hall. So there was a rumor that he was going to get extended. I think they're still working on that. And there was a rumor about a transition tag, but he's been officially
transition tag was the rumor. All right. So Breece Hall has been franchise tagged, and he's just, we'll see, man. He's another, that's a tough nut to crack. That's one where I just, you know, he's there. And I was just thinking when I was just, well, I know we're talking a lot about Montgomery, but as you look at the best ball, you look at the best ball cheat sheet and just how we're projecting Montgomery to sort of rise. And I was looking at that tier that was like, Breece Hall is in sort of the same tier with guys like, I know Ken Walker's in that tier. Travis Etienne's in that tier. Guys just with some uncertainty sort of around them. I think that Javonte Williams should be in that tier, although he's going a little bit after those dudes. I feel like there's some trailing ADP data that goes in with that. But with Breece Hall, I mean, at least there, you know, with Ken Walker, there's uncertainty about his role and whether it's going to stay the same, if he's going to even stay on the same team. And there's also the uncertainty of if he goes to a new team, what if he goes to some team that just, you know, What if Ken Walker goes to like the Chiefs or something like that? Then next thing you know, it's like where you can get him right now is just a bonkers cheap price for ADP. But there's worries that he could end up going to the, you know, there's been talks about him to the Giants and stuff like that, where he'd be in another committee with Scataboo once he gets back healthy and stuff. Like, just a lot of risk with him. And so I don't know, man. I think that eventually Montgomery's going to end up kind of getting close to that area, and Breece Hall, as opposed to being a dude who's going off pretty much consensus third round. Ivan priced in more like late third round, 3-4 turn, but he's going more early third round. I think that the ADPs are going to converge between the David Montgomerys of the world. And I even started thinking about, man, they told us about Quinshon Judkins, how well he's progressing. He's going to be fully ready for camp. And like, that is not reflected in his current ADP right now at all. I mean, that he's going around the same time as like Travion Henderson and stuff. He's going after him. I mean, there's just there are a lot of deficiencies right now. So make sure and check out the best ball cheat sheet. All right, let's talk about the what we learned at the combine. Do you want to talk about running backs first, since we've already kind of talked about running backs here?
Yeah.
All right. So my big takeaway is that obviously Jeremiah Love is the 101 in Dynasty. The way that I see it, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 running backs in the NFL right now that I think I would take ahead of him, sight unseen, as far as NFL destination for redraft and best ball. And I think there are two of those 8 that you could maybe talk me off of. But obviously you take Bijan, you take Gibbs over him. I think Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, James Cook, Devon Achane, and then the two sophomore guys in Jinty and Omarion Hampton. I think that Jeremiah Love sort of fits in between them. Awesome combine for him. So much so that one of the things that we'd heard from Titans sources is like, hey, dude, keep an eye out for this guy to the Titans at 4, especially now with it feels like people cooling off a little bit on Reuben Bain. There's just a lot of narrative out there saying, like, if you want to help out your quarterback, you know, this guy's apparently the Titans have this guy, if not the top guy on their board, certainly higher than anybody else on their board, just from a pure player standpoint. It's like, bring in the star running back to see if the run game can help bring your young rookie, or I guess now your young second year quarterback along. But the real question then comes at the 10 or the running back 2. And I just see that as now Mike Washington, with the combine he had, has put himself squarely, at least in the discussion there. We've loved him since the Senior Bowl. We've loved him since before the Senior Bowl. You guys have heard us talk about him. But clearly, Jadarian Price, Jeremiah Love's teammate from Notre Dame, was in that discussion, maybe sort of consensus-ish running back too. There was Emmett Johnson, who had a slightly disappointing combine, but at least he goes and he competes. Great receiving profile. There are dudes who love Jonah Coleman. There are people who still love Nick Singleton, whose injury is minor and unfortunately was not able to work out this week, because if he were able to work out this week, we might be talking about him as like the Sonny Styles of the running back position, with the way that he would have tested so explosively. So it's with the running back too. It still feels like it's way up in the air to me.
Yeah, I think it's the gap has widened from these players, between these players, I should say, to where, you know, coming in, it felt like there was maybe 6, maybe 7 guys in the conversation to be RB2. I think that conversation's tightened down to 3 guys, in my opinion, is Jadarian, Nick Singleton, Mike Washington, like you talked about. And Singleton, like you said, if he would have tested, if he would have been healthy, I think that thing could have potentially just blown itself into its own tier. Ahead of Mike Washington. The biggest knock now going around Twitter is the fumbles, where Mike Washington is far and away at the bottom of the list with 12 career fumbles, which is not great. But that's kind of the big thing everyone's pointing to. I'll point to this. He's over 220 pounds, and he ran the 4.3s, and only 4 human beings in the SEC have ever done that.
Not just the 4.3s, the low 4.3s.
I'm just saying, like, this is a general stat. Like, the 4.3s at 220 plus pounds, only 4 humans have ever done that from the SEC. Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, and then another Arkansas alum, Niall Davis. Good group.
It makes between those three, you're going to be a perennial All Pro. And
you're either all Hall of Famer or you're out of the league. Hopefully somewhere in between. closer to the Hall of Fame side. But I was very impressed with everything Mike Washington's profile had at the combine. He had a perfect 10.0 RAS, which is a relative athletic score. But the Singleton thing, like he still came in at 216 pounds, 5'11", the profile, the breakout, everything he did at Penn State with a back in that backfield with him like Catron Allen. I was still very impressed with him as far as on the stage goes. And Jadarian Price, I think he came in at, you know, he was projected to come in around 210. He came in at 203. So yeah, 7 pounds lighter. We projected him for a mid-4.5.
But as 203 is just as a tough inside runner that you said to yourself, dude, all this guy does is find these little, makes himself small and finds these little gaps and just bursts ahead through for these awesome, like 8-9 yard, just chunk kind of runs. You know what I mean? And you just think to yourself, well, at 203,
I'm not worried about that though. Like I was getting to is like, we project him as a 4.5 guy, mid 4.5. He ran a 4.49 and you're assuming he's going to be 210. I think he runs closer to 210 than like that Trey Mason Dixon line, right? That 204 spot. It's like, I think he just got that weight down. He got the way I visualize that whole thing is he knew he needed to run fast. 4.50 was a good number to kind of break through as a running back. He, you know, he isn't holding 4.3, 4.5 extra pounds. He could have weighed probably 207, 208, sheds a little bit of weight, runs a little bit faster. I think he puts that weight back on. He is what he is. I still like Jadarian Price a lot. But I think for me, he fell a little bit behind Singleton and Mike Washington, which sounds interesting because Nick Singleton didn't do anything. But I just feel better about him because he told us at the podium that he was aiming to work out the week before the NFL draft. So we'll see if he fulfills that destiny. But it sounds like he'll at least be out there moving around for rookie minicamp, and he should definitely be 10 toes down for training camp in the fall, which makes me feel a hell of a lot better than I felt about a month ago when it was rumored that he just broke his foot, period. And it wasn't, you know, explained further than that the week of the Senior Bowl. So I think there's a little bit of clarity here. And then you talked about Emmett Johnson, who came in at 202, but ran pretty slow and didn't have the best workout.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The ProNuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at ProNuvo.com. That's ProNuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with ProNuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit ProNuvo.com. That's ProNuvo.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Yeah, so he came in at 202, ran a 4.56, but it's like we've talked about it before with Emmett Johnson. Just the craziest thing is that an 18% reception share. I mean, last season, but I mean, an 18% target share for a running back is through the roof. Just what,
did you know he was the only running back that ran a 3-cone?
He came to compete, dude.
It was not good though. It was a 7.32.
Oh gosh. Well, but he at least came to compete, right? Yeah. And you could tell that he's a competitive guy just by nature, just by the way he talked at the combine. People are like, "What do you think about the size concerns?" He's like, "Do I look small to you?" You know. So like, he said, "Look at all my stats. Look at my yards after contact. Look at all the stuff." I think I said it on the Friday show. It's like, I mean, it's kind of a lot of those are more volume based for him. He really wasn't the most efficient after contact, but I mean, like, still a really good player. I don't, he was a guy that people were really kind of like, they had the, you know, if you're like a Top Gun pilot or something like that from the movies, you got some like little bogey and you're like, they had him sighted right in and about to pull the trigger on him as their running back too. And it feels like they've called off the dogs on that for due to the testing, but big ups to him as far as going out there and competing. Still a really good player. I think he's going to be in the top. He's top. I think you're right. Love, Price, Washington, Singleton. right? I think that I think those three are the next tier down. And then I think between those, I think in the next, you're just going to have all of these conversations about Emmett Johnson. I think now it's going to be Emmett Johnson versus Jonah Coleman and maybe Catron Allen kind of gets himself into that mix with any of his stands that kind of.
There's still some mud pounders out there for Jonah Coleman. I don't really get it. Like, he had a good year ago, but there's just like.
Did you like that he did he compared himself to a prime CEH?
No, he didn't.
I think he did.
Come on, man.
Hold on. I mean, let me pull up Twitter real quick and just make sure that, like, I think he did. Prime.
He said, did he say the word prime?
I think he did.
That is maniacal behavior.
Washington RB. So this is from somebody named Ryan Linkletter on X, saying Washington RB Jonah Coleman has formerly met with the Chiefs, mentions he would fit like prime CEH and would love to play for Bienemy / Murray.
Brother. I'm not going to.
When was CEH's prime? His first game in the NFL where he scored a touchdown?
I mean, there's definitely like three or four different years that you could count as prime for him, but yep. That is a – I didn't see that. Kind of put you back as – I don't even know how to say.
He should have just said he pictures himself as a prime Doug Martin.
He would just say, do I look like Maurice Jones-Drew? Yes, yeah. I do. Yeah. All right. I'm Maurice Jones-Drew. Like, just, you know, a throwback comp. I love when these guys come out and they're like a throwback. Like, I like to watch – Chris Carter, and you're like, oh, all right. So you like to watch ball, like Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, JS, like
these guys like watching. I kind of like when they talk about those guys because it shows me that they're in front of the TVs watching these games on the weekends. I like guys that love football. All right, let's.
Can I just say Seth McGowan needs, like, I need to go back and watch some Seth McGowan from Kentucky. He came in at 6 foot tall, 223, ran a 4.49. And absolutely jumped out of the building. He had a 42.5-inch vertical, which I did not see on tape at all.
I didn't.
And what? You don't care?
No, I didn't see that either.
Oh, I thought you said I don't care. I was like, well, I mean, I'm not saying I love him, but I definitely think the athleticism is enough to where, like, that's going to, like I said, for. I'm back. I'm looking at him like I need to go back and see what I didn't see. Because, you know, it's interesting that he and Mike Washington were at New Mexico State together just a year ago, and they were the two most athletic pound-for-pound running backs at the combine this year.
Yeah, that's an interesting deal. Isn't McGowan going to be like 26 this year? Am I way off on that?
McGowan turns 26 in October.
It's a little old.
So like week six of the NFL, he's going to turn 26, which is older than, like, you know, that's definitely past the age apex.
People are worried about David Montgomery being a 28-year-old having to go down to Houston.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
I'm not either, but I'm saying that's what people are, you know.
Yeah.
There's definitely sentiment that, you know, like by his second year, he'll be a guy that people say, like, oh, he's a little bit old to trade for. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Okay, the wide receivers, what stood out most to you getting to watch the – I guess we have our on-field grades up. I think those are for our pro – are those for our pro members, or is that for everybody? I forgot.
It's under pro right now.
Okay, so
– we'll talk about it.
Yeah. I don't have it pulled up, so why don't you give some context about the on-field stuff and sort of what we look at and how these guys fared this year.
So we do on-field grading at Roster Watch. We've done it the last 4 years because that's when they started letting us into the stadium for the whole workout consistently. And really what that comes down to
is we had done it in previous years, but I kind of stopped doing it because they started only letting us be in there for half the drills and stuff like so.
Yeah.
Whenever they let us in the stadium, Cody thought it'd be a good idea to bring it back. So it's like the historical record that we have in this, it should go back 15 years, but we got screwed there. We got swindled by the COVID year. So it's just the last 4 years.
Yeah. So 2023, 2024, 2025, and now 2026. And really what this comes down to is if you guys watched the NFL Combine on Saturday night, you know, these wide receivers running the gauntlet. That's the one that always goes viral, the gauntlet, and the running slants and goes and 7-yard outs and crossing routes and deep flies and all these different routes. And we're grading every single one of them on our own scale, and we come out with these kind of a tiered breakdown. You can see it over at rosterwatch.com. There's 144 guys that we've graded in the last 4 years, and it's kind of created itself into these groupings. I don't want to say tiers, but maybe it's tiers, but groups of guys where you can kind of see where the number breaks off. It's like if you score 25 or more points, it's a pretty good group of dudes that have historically broken out, from Puka Nacua to Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, Josh Downs, Tank Dell. There's a couple of misses in here. That's going to happen, but it's like Jimmy Horn, who I think he's still going to get an opportunity, or Charlie Jones is historically one of the best on-field workouts we've seen, period. Highest graded, actually, interestingly enough. But that goes all the way down to the bottom of the list, which is names that aren't really around the NFL much anymore. And there's a couple of names in there that kind of popped their head through. But historically, over the last 4 years, this thing's starting to really separate itself. And there's, as it goes down, the worse you do is pretty, it's a pretty telling connection to your success in the NFL. And I'll just throw out the rip: Mekhi Lemon, Casey Concepcion, two of the top five receivers that did work out. Denzel Boston as well. So three of the top five. No Tyson, no Carnell Tate, but Mekhi Lemon and Casey Concepcion from Texas A&M, Mekhi Lemon from USC, graded up very well, third and fourth all time in the Roster Watch on-field grading at the Combine.
Yeah, they had really good – they looked really clean out there. Mekhi Lemon's a baller, man. Casey's a baller. These guys are so good. It's just a really – I just think, you know, like Cody said, maybe it's just like every year I'll get out over my skis, but I look at Carnell Tate, I look at Mekhi Lemon, I look at KC, I look at Jordan Tyson, I look at Denzel Boston, and sort of see a group of five there where I'm just like, dude, I would not have any issue with anybody taking any of those five in the first round of the NFL draft, and I'll be excited to see where they go. And it's wild that I would even say I think that even Zachariah Branch from Georgia has an outside shot. How did Zachariah Branch grade out? I thought he was better on field than I would have thought, considering that everybody says all he catches is, you know, these little dump offs and these screen passes and these fabricated gadget plays to get the ball in his hands. He actually like I remember watching his routes. I'm like, dude, that was clean. He got out of his breaks so well.
So we grade these we grade the workout different in two parts, I should say. The gauntlet score, which is across the field, 53 yards and back on two reps, and then every other base route. So we have a base route score and a gauntlet score. And the number one base route score this year was Zachariah Branch. He had 9 points for that. The next closest actually went to, I believe it was Lemon and Concepcion, I think, tied with seven. So he was pretty clearly the best route runner, which is interesting because you brought it up.
So crazy.
51% of his routes this year were screens.
Yeah. Oh,
so over half. And people were like, this guy can't run routes, this guy can't do X. It's like, or maybe we all know this, Georgia is not exactly the place wide receivers go to thrive, first off. And secondly, what do coaches usually say? Get the ball in the hands of your best player. Like, you can argue, I wouldn't, because it's pretty clear to me. He was the best player. He's the most talented player on the offense for Georgia last year. So get the ball in his hands. So we saw more of it at the combine, though, and he was very impressive. And he was like this close to vaulting himself way up this rankings. But he did score 25 points overall, joined that top group. He was one of just those three guys that joined that top group, comparable to Luther Burden and Zay Flowers in the workouts. So
that's good, man. That's good company. Those on-field grades. People hear this and like there'll be 25% of people that say these two guys are the most cockamamie people I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, guess what? We're boots on the ground. We're doing the work. So.
Yeah, no, it's clearly been relatively predictive. There's, like we said, there's been a few misses, but I mean, you add it in with Zachariah Branch, is what we have as far as his athletic testing. I mean, he has a 4.435 in the 40. It's just like I've always said, back at USC, I'm like, dude, this is like a Tyreek Hill. I'm like, I can't believe this guy with the ball in his hands. I can't believe his play speed. I wish he would have gone somewhere. But can you imagine what would have happened if he would have gone to like Ole Miss with Chambliss and Kiffin and stuff as instead of going to Georgia?
Can I also just say, like, you saying the Tyreek Hill thing, people are going to like, if people that don't know Zachariah Branch are going to say, ah, that's an idiot. But he actually works out with Tyreek Hill, and he's worked out with Tyreek Hill for 3 years, three off seasons.
I didn't know that.
And he's been comped to Tyreek Hill a lot by a lot of people. Like I think like him, Tyreek and Malachi Toney at Miami right now are like the only three dudes that I've seen that have like rubber ligaments when they run.
Malachi is too sick. Entirely too sick.
Yeah. But that's where Branch, like, that's when you bring up the conversation, like, should it be a big six? And I think we're there. I think there's still some question marks. He's 177 pounds. He's got, you know, small features. He's only 5'8 and a half. You're a little worried about that, but we've seen guys succeed. It's just, there's some question there as far as the size goes. But I mean, as a player, as a talent, I mean, this is the old quote, from Matt Kelly, from when the late Rondell Moore came out. He said, if Rondell Moore was the size of Kelvin Johnson, he'd be the greatest prospect we've ever seen. That's like this, again, it sounds ridiculous because you're like, well, yeah, he'd be the size of Kelvin Johnson. But with this talent and with this athleticism, if he was bigger, he'd be one of the greatest prospects you'd ever evaluate.
Yeah, you know, if your aunt daddy, you know what, should, you know. What did you think about any risers or fallers for you? For me, it's like kind of hesitantly, I think that Jacoby Lane sort of, you know, he impressed me with his on-field stuff and the fact that he ran a 4.47, which was faster than I projected. I think I projected him more in the high 4.5s. Looked a lot better than what I had thought. If he had had a year in 2025, like the year that he had in 2024, we'd be talking about him like as one of these top dudes as well. I think that, man, and I'm always impressed with Skylar Bell. I'm always generally impressed with Ted Hurst, who comes in at 6'4", 208, and runs a 4.42. I think that
biggest broad jump of the weekend too, 11.3.
I think Malachi Fields was a guy that I came into Indy kind of a little bit lower than you on. And after the workouts, I kind of thought to myself that I felt good about that.
I mean, I wasn't high on him, but definitely like you know, Malachi Fields and Jacoby Lane for me were like ships passing in the night on Saturday night after the workouts were complete. We saw a big week from Malachi Fields down at the Senior Bowl. But I think when you take a step back and you say, well, who was down at the Senior Bowl? Well, it was Jacoby Lane. It was Ted Hurst. And then it was a lot of like Josh Cameron, Romello Brinson, Berrien Brown. Like,
did Brinson even get a combine invite? I don't remember seeing him.
Brinson did not get a combine invite. Yeah. And it's like that's the what we have to remind ourselves of is like he wasn't like going down there and competing with X, Y, and Z. And that sometimes can get you when you go to an event like that and it's not all of the top prospects. Is like you can kind of get over your skis a little bit when you see a guy in person versus seeing a lot of guys on tape. Now you see everybody in person and you're like, oh, he's not quite at that level. So I pulled back on Malachi Fields for sure. And I think I the ship's passing tonight, but they're still like a mile apart. They can still see each other. Jacoby Lane for me passed him from USC. Super young. I think he turns 22 years old like once the season starts. So he's still 21 years old. Like you talked about the 2024 season, he came in, ran that 4.47, massive hands, over 10-inch hands from Jacoby Lane. Also a super he was really lean at the Senior Bowl, which like as far as like his overall body goes, I think he weighed 200 pounds, which is 18 pounds lighter than Malachi Fields this weekend. But as far as the on-field workouts go, we just talked about these guys and how they performed. It's like he was in that second tier with a couple of other names like, you know, like Ted Hurst, you brought up Jeremy Bernard. And that second tier, well, it's not as, you know, elite as the top tier of guys in our on-field grading. It's still got a lot of breakouts, and especially like first and second year breakouts like Michael Wilson, JSN, Andre Yosevash. You talk about Jalen McMillan, Jaden Higgins. People are excited about some of these guys. And I think there's a lot of projection there where I don't think Jacoby Lane is going to be a star in 2026. But I think by 2027, if he's in the right offense, it's going to be a ton of opportunities for a player like that. And leaving Indianapolis, I feel a lot better about Jacoby Lane and his prospects heading into the 2026 draft.
calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.